United States Appellant versus the libelants and claimants of the schooner Amistad, her tackle, apparel, and furniture, together with her cargo, and the Africans mentioned and described in the several libels and claims, appellees, Supreme Court of the United States, 1841. Mr. Justice Story delivered the opinion of the court. This is the case of an appeal from the decree of the Circuit Court of the District of Connecticut sitting in Admiralty. The leading facts as they appear in the transcript of the proceedings are as follows. On the 27th of June, 1839, the schooner L'Amistad, being the property of Spanish subjects, cleared out from the port of Havana in the island of Cuba for Puerto Principe in the same island. On board of the schooner were the captain, Ransom Farrar, and Jose Ruiz, and Pedro Montes, all Spanish subjects. The former had with him a Negro boy named Antonio, claimed to be his slave. Jose Ruiz had with him 49 Negroes, claimed by him as his slaves, and stated to be his property, in a certain pass or document signed by the Governor General of Cuba. Pedro Montes had with him 4 other Negroes, also claimed by him as his slaves, and stated to be his property in a similar pass or document, also signed by the Governor General of Cuba. On the voyage and before the arrival of the vessel at her port of destination, the Negroes rose, killed the captain, and took possession of her. On the 26th of August, the vessel was discovered by Lieutenant Gedney of the United States brig Washington at anchor on the high seas, at the distance of 1/2 mile from the shore of Long Island. A part of the Negroes were then on shore at Culloden Point, Long Island, who were seized by Lieutenant Gedney and brought on board. The vessel, with the Negroes and other persons on board, was brought by Lieutenant Gedney into the District of Connecticut and there libeled for salvage in a district court of the United States. A libel for salvage was also filed by Henry Green and Palatia Fordham of Sag Harbor, Long Island. On the 18th of September, Ruiz and Montes filed claims of libels in which they asserted their ownership of the Negroes as their slaves and of certain parts of the cargo and prayed that the same might be delivered to them or to representatives of Her Catholic Majesty as might be most proper. On the 19th of September, the Attorney of the United States for the District of Connecticut filed an information or libel setting forth that the Spanish minister had officially presented to the proper department of the government of the United States a claim for the restoration of the vessel, cargo, and slaves as the property of Spanish subjects, which had arrived within the jurisdictional limits of the United States and were taken possession of by said public armed brig of the United States under such circumstances as made it the duty of the United States to cause the same to be restored to the true proprietors pursuant to the treaty between the United States and Spain, and praying the court on its being made legally to appear that the claim of the Spanish minister was well-founded, to make such order for the disposal of the vessel, cargo, and slaves as would best enable the United States to comply with their treaty stipulations. But if it should appear that the Negroes were persons transported from Africa in violation of the laws of the United States and brought within the United States contrary to the same laws, he then prayed the court to make such order for their removal to the coast of Africa pursuant to the laws of the United States as it should deem fit. On the 19th of November, the Attorney of the United States filed a second information or libel similar to the first, with the exception of the second prayer above set forth in his former one. On the same day, Antonio G. Vega, the Vice Consul of Spain for the state of Connecticut, filed his libel alleging that Antonio was a slave, the property of the representatives of Ramon Farrar, and praying the court to cause him to be delivered to the said vice consul, that he might be returned by him to his lawful owner in the island of Cuba. On the 7th of January, 1840, the Negroes, Cinque and others, with the exception of Antonio, by their counsel, filed an answer denying that they were slaves or the property of Ruiz and Montes, or that the court could, under the Constitution or laws of the United States, or under any treaty, exercise any jurisdiction over their persons by reason of the premises, and praying that they might be dismissed. They specially set forth and insist in this answer that they were native-born Africans, born free, and still of right ought to be free and not slaves, that they were on or about the 15th of April 1839 unlawfully kidnapped and forcibly and wrongfully carried on board a certain vessel on the coast of Africa, which was unlawfully engaged in the slave trade, and were unlawfully transported in the same vessel to the island of Cuba for the purpose of being there unlawfully sold as slaves, that Ruiz and Montes, well knowing of the premises, made a pretended purchase of them, and that afterwards, on or about the 28th of June, 1839, Ruiz and Montes, confederating with Farrar, the captain of the Amistad, caused them without law or right to be placed on board of the Amistad, to be transported to some place unknown to them, and there to be enslaved for life, that on the voyage they rose on the master and took possession of the vessel, intending to return therewith to their native country, or to seek an asylum in some free state. And the vessel arrived on or about the 26th of August, 1839, off Montauk Point near Long Island. A part of them were sent on shore and were seized by Lieutenant Gedney and carried on board, and all of them were afterwards brought by him into the District of Connecticut. On the 7th of January, 1840, Jose Antonio Telincas and Mrs. Aspe and Laca, all Spanish subjects residing in Cuba, filed their claims as owners to certain portions of the goods found on board of the schooner Lanistad. On the same day, all the libelants and claimants by their counsel, except Jose Ruiz and Pedro Montes, whose libels and claims, as stated of record respectively, were pursued by the Spanish minister, the same being merged in his claims, appeared, and the Negroes also appeared by their counsel, and the case was heard on the libels, claims, answers, and testimony of witnesses. On the 23rd of January, 1840, the district court made a decree. By that decree, the court rejected the claim of Greening and Fordham for salvage, but allowed salvage to Lieutenant Gedney and others on the vessel and cargo of one-third the value thereof, but not on the Negroes, Cinque and the others. It allowed the claim of Telincas and Aspe and Laca with the exception of the above-mentioned salvage. It dismissed the libels and claims of Ruiz and Montes with costs as being included under the claim of the Spanish minister. It allowed the claim of the Spanish vice consul for Antonio on behalf of Farrar's representatives. It rejected the claims of Ruiz and Montes for the delivery of the Negroes, but admitted them to the cargo with the exception of the above-mentioned salvage. It rejected the claim made by the attorney of the United States on behalf of the Spanish minister for the restoration of the Negroes under the treaty, but it decreed that they should be delivered to the President of the United States to be transported to Africa pursuant to the Act of 3rd March, 1819. From this decree, the district attorney on behalf of the United States appealed to the circuit court, except so far as related to the restoration of the slave Antonio. The claimants, Telincas and Aspe and Laca, also appealed from that part of the decree which awarded salvage on the property respectively claimed by them. No appeal was interposed by Ruiz or Montes or on behalf of the representatives of the owners of the Amistad. The circuit court, by a mere pro forma decree, affirmed the decree of the district court, reserving the question of salvage upon the claims of Telincas and Aspe and Laca. And from that decree, the present appeal has been brought to this court. The cause has been very elaborately argued, as well as upon the merits, as upon a motion on behalf of the appellee to dismiss the appeal. On the part of the United States, it has been contended, one, that due and sufficient proof concerning the property has been made to authorize the restitution of the vessel, cargo, and Negroes to the Spanish subjects on whose behalf they are claimed, pursuant with the Treaty of Spain, of the 27th of October, 1795. Two, that the United States had a right to intervene in the manner in which they have done, to obtain a decree for the restitution of the property upon the application of the Spanish minister. These propositions have been strenuously denied on the other side. Other collateral and incidental points have been stated upon which it is not necessary at this moment to dwell. Before entering upon the discussion of the main points involved in this interesting and important controversy, it may be necessary to say a few words as to the actual posture of the case as it now stands before us. In the first place, then, the only parties now before the court on one side are the United States, intervening for the sole purpose of procuring restitution of the property as Spanish property pursuant to the treaty, upon the grounds stated by the other parties claiming the property in their respective libels. The United States do not assert any property in themselves or any violation of their own rights or sovereignty or laws by the acts complained of. They do not insist that these Negroes have been imported into the United States in contravention of our own slave trade acts. They do not seek to have these Negroes delivered up for the purpose of being transported to Cuba as pirates or robbers or as fugitive criminals against the laws of Spain. They do not assert that the seizure and bringing the vessel and cargo and Negroes into port by Lieutenant Gedney for the purpose of adjudication is a tortious act. They simply confine themselves to the right of the Spanish claimants to the restitution of their property upon the facts asserted in their respective allegations. In the next place, the parties before the court on the other side of appellees are Lieutenant Gedney on his libel for salvage, and the Negroes, Cinque and others, asserting themselves in their answer not to be slaves, but free native Africans kidnapped in their own country and illegally transported by force from that country, and now entitled to maintain their freedom. No question has been here made as to the proprietary interests in the vessel and cargo. It is admitted that they belong to Spanish subjects and that they ought to be restored. The only point on this head is whether the restitution ought to be upon the payment of salvage or not. The main controversy is whether these Negroes are the property of Ruiz and Montes and ought to be delivered up. And to this, accordingly, we shall first direct our attention. It has been argued on behalf of the United States that the court are bound to deliver them up according to the Treaty of 1795 with Spain, which has, in this particular, been continued in full force by the Treaty of 1819, ratified in 1821. The sixth article of that treaty seems to have had principally in view cases where the property of the subjects of either state had been taken possession of within the territorial jurisdiction of the other during war. The eighth article provides for cases where the shipping of the inhabitants of either state are forced through stress of weather, pursuit of pirates or enemies, or any other urgent necessity to seek shelter in the ports of the other. There may well be some doubt entertained whether the present case in its actual circumstances falls within the purview of this article, but it does not seem necessary for the reasons hereafter stated absolutely to decide it. The ninth article provides that all ships and merchandise of what nature soever which shall be rescued out of the hands of any pirates or robbers on the high seas shall be brought into some port of either state and shall be delivered to the custody of the officers of that port in order to be taken care of and restored entire to the true proprietor, as soon as due and sufficient proof shall be made concerning the property thereof. This is the article on which the main reliance is placed on behalf of the United States for the restitution of these Negroes. To bring the case within the article, it is essential to establish, first, that these Negroes, under all circumstances, fall within the description of merchandise in the sense of the treaty. Secondly, that there has been a rescue of them on the high seas, out of the hands of the pirates and robbers, which in the present case can only be by showing that they themselves are pirates and robbers. And thirdly, that Ruiz and Montes, the asserted proprietors, are the true proprietors, and they have established their title by competent proof.